Coming up, I'll show you how your daily routine might be a crutch. And then, why you should watch wages in this week's job report. What will that mean for everything in the economy? And then, job openings plunged. Let's go. Helping you win in your work so that you can win in your life. I'm Ken. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Is your routine creating a rut? I'm gonna let that one sit for a second. Some of you got really nervous. Some of you big routine people were like, I don't like this. I don't like where he's going. Makes me nervous. There's a lady in the lobby with her husband it is your husband? Okay, great. And she's looking at him, and I don't know which one of them is the routine person, but it's like, both of you? Okay. So this is very good. This is going to be great for you all and everybody else. And by the way, let me just start by saying, I am not about to bash routines. In fact, I love routines. Okay? So that's not what I'm going after. However, I'm going to challenge you. Because I think that it is very easy for us humans to become victims of routines instead of using routines for necessary discipline and focus. What happens is we begin to use routines for safety and comfortability. And I think when we are solely in a routine for the purposes of feeling safe, being safe, not growing, not risking, not pushing forward. So in other words, it's really about comfortability. I feel safe. It's the safe emotion, not to be unsafe physically, but the idea of I am, it's all about comfort. I just want to be comfortable, Ken. Leave me alone, man. I just want to be comfortable in my routines every day. I like everything just the way it is. It's orderly. Leave me alone. All right. Now, let me tell you something. If you want to live a life that is dictated by routines for the purpose of putting you in this emotionally padded room where you cannot, at least this is the notion, it's not true, you can't be harmed. Well, I'm going to tell you something. You are going to be, as Theodore Roosevelt said so famously in his Man in the Arena speech, those cold and timid souls who know neither victory nor defeat. I like to call them bleacher creatures. They sit on the bleachers of life, and they're just watching everybody else do life.
I don't like the way he's doing that.
Great. What are you going to do? You're sitting up there, elbow deep in the popcorn bag, criticizing everybody else. You're not in the game, man. I have zero patience for people who sit on the bleachers of life because they don't have the guts to get out and play the game. Now, I'm telling you, I'm showing you the underbelly, the ugly side when we become so reliant on routines to live our life. So let's break this down. So a routine as nothing more than a safety net or an arena of comfort holds us back. Routines for discipline can push us forward. So I was thinking about this, Alex, and you know I like to simplify everything. So when are routines good? When is a routine good? And when are routines or a routine bad? I think it's very simple. If the routines are designed for growth, it's good. If routines are designed for comfort, it's bad. So let's get specific. All right. So routine for comfort. Well, this is the job that I'm in, or I'm self-employed, or I do this, I do that. And so my routine is I like to work this amount of hours, and I like to go to this coffee shop, and I only have this lunch every day, and I do this, and my whole, everything is just all about me feeling comfortable with my day, and there's nothing in that day that stretches you, that teaches you. And so it's just about, well, I've got my orderly schedule. And from this time to, well, can I get up every morning? I exercise. Great. I'm happy that you exercise. I'm not talking about your routines. I've got routines, okay? But those are a part of a rhythm. And I want us today to stretch for just a few moments from routine to rhythm. I'd like to see good routines as a part of your rhythm. But to me, a rhythm is I'm moving, I'm flowing, I'm adapting. I'm not stagnant and stuck in a routine for the sake of a routine. Well, it's just what I know. It's what I do, Ken. It's what I eat every day. I mean, I get it. But we're talking about when routine has become your entire life. And you look up, year goes by, 2 years go by, 3 years go by, 4 years, and you're just stuck. And well, you're comfortable. You're not, maybe not miserable. But can I tell you that you can have too much comfort? I'm really going to challenge some folks here on this one. I believe that we can get so comfortable that we become miserable. And we're comfortable, 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 comfortable. And we wake up one day and we're miserable. We go, why am I miserable? And I would say it's because you're too freaking comfortable. We humans are creatures of progress. We need growth. Not for the sake of growth, but for us to be the best versions of who we are. The creator of the universe created you with a unique combination of talent, what you do best, passion, work you love, and a sense of mission, results that matter deeply to you that you want to contribute to the world. And when you understand that, I make no bones about this, that I absolutely believe there's a God and that he created us all. The Bible says uniquely and wonderfully. Psalm 139, 13, 14, David uses the analogy of threads. And he says, you knit me together in my mother's womb. And so I believe that you were created on purpose, thus you were created to fill a unique role. That means you are needed. You're tremendously valuable. And that means you must do it. There is a duty for you to show up and be the best version of you relationally, first and foremost, and professionally, second. And I see in a world where we've got so much peer pressure and so much busyness and all the stuff that it becomes about the routine as opposed to what a routine should be for, which is discipline to grow. So, routines for growth are good. What's your reading routine? What's your learning routine? Are you learning something new every week? By reading. What's your routine for growth? What's your routine for physical health? What's your routine for mental and emotional health? What's your routine for spiritual health? Yes, routine's there, but those are moments of discipline where I am intentionally learning. I'm intentionally growing. Hey, if I'm an entrepreneur, self-employed, I need to be pushing myself and testing myself. What's a new product? What's a new version of the service that I can offer? I just get stuck in the routine. Well, it's what we do, man. We just come in and we clean people's carpets. Great. What else could you do? Where are you growing? What's a routine to push yourself and to grow yourself? I'm going to challenge those of you that are listening right now. If you feel you're in a rut, I want you to take inventory today, the rest of the day before we go to sleep tonight, and look at where maybe routines are holding you back. Coming up, job report. What's it going to tell us? I'll let you know. Of the people, by the people, for the people. I'm Ken. This is a show where we help you make more money and experience more meaning. So my goal is increase your income, increase your impact. Who doesn't want that? It doesn't matter which way you lean politically or spiritually. Everybody wants to make a difference in this world, and I'm here to help you do that. I am paying attention to the trends so that you don't have to. We've seen extreme growth, and I want to say very briefly, I don't do this enough, thank you all, podcast listeners, SiriusXM, radio, YouTube, seen tremendous growth, specifically on YouTube, a lot of new listeners, so welcome aboard. And what we found is Alex told me, what I remember the first time you told me this, Alex, I was like, really, man? You're like, yeah. You people, I say that with a positive way. Boy, that gets negative. You can't say that. Hey, you people that are watching this show, they want to know. Want to know what I think. So now I take extra responsibility, not just to coach you every day, but to guide you and inform you. I am an equal opportunity offender, meaning I'm not worried about who I offend because I'm not really lobbing out a bunch of offensive things here, but I will speak very openly on the economy and what I think is going on and what I think the trends are and how you should face it. So we always start with the premise that you don't need to look to Washington, D.C. or your state capital or your mayor for your success. You are in charge of you. Control what you can control. Be involved, be engaged, whatever. I don't care. I want everybody to vote, everybody be involved. I don't care which side it is. Be involved, all right? But to the extent that you let policy and things that you cannot control control your emotions and your actions, it's out of whack. But here we are in this really weird economy. I think we're in what we would call a baby recession, an eensy teensy weensy one. But as each quarter comes along, we'll see. Do we continue with two straight quarters of a shrinking of the GDP? But the job number is the thing that I've been watching and I've been talking about very clearly. That's what we focus on the show, work. But for over a year, we've had this big gap in jobs. Okay, if you pay attention to the news, you know what I'm talking about, where we've had 11 plus million jobs available, open. And then we see somewhere in the low 8 million range of people that are unemployed. And so that's a huge gap. It's a good thing for the worker, and the worker has cashed in on it. Simultaneously to those numbers, we've seen 13, we're headed towards 14 straight months of over 4 million people quitting their jobs. We'll see what the September numbers are. Okay? It's called the Great Resignation. People leaving their jobs in droves. People are skilling, they're upgrading their job. Well, the numbers are starting to come out. And I can tell you right now that Jerome Powell, who I've been very critical of because I do not agree with his policy, I think he was asleep at the switch. And so now he's come out, and I'm going to quote him again right here. He's come out again, and they think that the best way to deal with inflation is to hurt the job market and drive unemployment up and see a shrinkage of jobs. I don't agree with that. But I will also say that, you know, they let this problem get where it is by all the money that was put out during the pandemic. There's a lot of money out there, and that helps drive inflation. All right, here's what we're watching for this week. We are going to look at the figure that matters most to the Fed right now as it relates to raising interest rates, and that is not the number of jobs added, but wage growth. All right. So if the Fed sees wage growth, meaning that wages, hourly wages and salaries continue to rise or hold steady at a very high rate where they are now, that ain't good, according to the Fed. They will raise their interest rates and continue a policy towards that. That's what they're looking at. Now, when people have more money in their wallets, they spend more. Okay. Or at least they're more willing to spend it. And then, let's not forget, when we raise wages, it's a raise in cost for these big corporations. And these big corporations like to make money. So when you pay a kid at Taco Bell or Burger King or McDonald's $14, $15, $16 an hour, do you think McDonald's has a meeting and they say, well, we got to raise everybody's wages because that's what it's going to take to attract people in here to work. And so that's going to cost us this across the board. But you know what? We love our customers. We love our customers. And we're going to keep the cost of the Big Mac what it is. How many of you think that's what McDonald's says? That's not what they say. You know what they say? They go, well, we've had a raise of our expenses. Our expenses have gone up significantly because we've had to raise our minimum starting wage, and then we're having to pay managers more, and so our wage has gone up. And they look at a bottom line. They go across our entire stores and all of this stuff. Even though we've sold 8 billion hamburgers or whatever they put on that stupid sign below their golden arches. They go, okay, well, our costs have gone up by X amount, millions of dollars. So now that hurts our profit and our stock price. So can you see the CEO right now going, what's the current cost of a quarter pounder? And somebody goes, well, it's I don't even know what it is. I don't eat that stuff. I'm afraid it stays in your stomach too long. But let's say they say, well, it's $2.50, $3.50. Somebody in there look up what the current cost of a quarter pounder is. I'm curious what that is now. And so the CEO goes, oh, well, that's not going to cut it. Well, we're going to have to raise that by a dollar. And so what was a $6 combo? $6? $5.99 for a quarter pounder? All right, let me just tell you something. As wages keep going up, guess what? You're going to buy a $7.50 quarter pounder before you know it. Why? Because the companies are going to pass the cost along. You want to know what's driving inflation? Rising wages. And so the Fed's going to look at this, and if it keeps going up, they're going to go, well, we got to keep raising interest rates. Economics 101, folks. And here's the notion, by the way. People are making more than they've ever made before. We should be celebrating that. But you know what? With inflation going up, people are going, well, my check is bigger, but I'm not making any more. Now, I think that's a half narrative, and I think people need to learn how to save money and be disciplined. That's what Ramsey Solutions does, okay? I mean, hey, I'm making more money, Kim, but groceries cost more. Great. So buy in bulk. Cut your budget in other places. We got to have food. And here's where we're headed, folks. A term that many of you learned in probably sixth grade, and you haven't heard of it since. It's called stagflation. What does that mean? It's where we have persistent inflation, which is where we are, and then you begin to see the economy slow down. So it's a combination of stagnant economic growth and then raising inflation. It's called stagflation, and it ain't pretty. Now, what is that going to mean? Well, we're beginning to see it right now. And I told you it was going to happen. And I also said that I thought Jerome Powell and the Fed, that they were all a bunch of morons. U.S. job openings unexpectedly dropped in the August job report to the lowest level in a year. 10.1 million job openings. That's a major decline from July, which was 11.1. So what's happening? Companies are going, whoa, I don't know where this is going. And they're kind of going, okay, we're just going to kind of grab all the marbles on the table. We're going to pull everything closed. We're going to go, I don't know what's happening. And we're not going to offer jobs. We're not going to hire. We're going to wait and see. And this is what the Fed wants. I don't think it's the right way to deal with this. But we still have 4.2 million people quit their job in August. So as people keep leaving to go take higher paying jobs, it just keeps, because of the person that's replacing, they got to pay more. So my point is, I don't think you're going to see wages drop, which is causing inflation. So buckle up, kids. Save your money. Spend wisely. Welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show. Telling you the truth, even when it hurts. By the way, you know what we need? We need more intentional truth-telling segments where we just rip the Band-Aid off and go, hey, I got good news and I got bad news, okay? The good news is this is going to help you. The bad news is it's going to hurt. We need more of that in our society. You know? So there you go. Hey, quick shout outs. A couple people in the chat room. Amanda Parker is extolling the virtue of my Get Clear assessment, which I have over here on my massive desk. This is a printout of what the Get Clear assessment looks like. Gives you a purpose statement, detailed report on what you do best. Look at that, top talent, instruction. Next, top talent, organization, justice. Gives you a lot of details. Walks you through things like how you wow others, what others say about you, talent traps to avoid. And then we go through passion. So wonderful tool. Tens of thousands of people have bought this. And by the way, Alex, I didn't talk about it yesterday, and I should have. It is now on sale for a shockingly, and I mean shocking, because this is how I pay the bills. It's a $30 assessment. You know what they're selling it for at RamseySolutions.com and KenColeman.com? $10 right now. $10. How am I supposed to feed my family on that deal? Well, it's $10, so go buy it. It's unbelievable price. There you go. We'll press through, and you're going to benefit from it, all right? So go check it out. Amanda said it was spot on for her. She can't wait for the teenage version. And first of the year, we will have the teenage edition of the Get Clear Assessment to help parents have, for the very first time maybe in their life, a tool to be able to help their child and them see the uniqueness of their child and begin to have career path ideas and passion discussions, all based on the uniqueness of their teen. So stay tuned for that. That's coming out first of the year. All right. Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania is where we go next. Anthony's there. Anthony, how can I help?
Hey, Ken. It's a pleasure and a blessing to talk to you. How you doing?
Man, I'm living the dream. What are you doing?
Well, I wish I was. Similar to the last caller, I had a lot of indecisiveness in my life, and it kind of set me back pretty low. I'm not totally unemployed now. I'm still like picking up shifts here and there. My last job that I liked, I like to stick with delivery driving, but I've been like just kind of chasing things, and I think it's like a sign from God. Like, I really need to tap into my purpose, but I have some ideas, and like, I know I need a job right now still to pay the bills and everything. Yes. So I know to get to work, because the Bible even says a man who doesn't work shall not eat.
That's right.
So I know I got to get to work.
Yep.
But I'm just kind of like, I know there's a little bit of self-doubt, I think, with me.
I don't think there's a little bit of self-doubt. I think there's a ton of self-doubt. And let's just spend really quick few moments. I want you to be gut level honest with me so we can make the most of our 6 minutes that I've got left with you. What happened to you, or who said or did something to you that causes you to doubt your value?
You know what I think it is? I think it's, well, I'm living back home temporarily, but I think like the pressure to like do well for family almost. I mean,
who?
You know, and
who?
Being
who?
Kind of like everybody, really.
Now, who are you trying to please? Who are you trying to make proud that you've never heard that from? Say it.
Just like my mom and, you know, living with my stepdad too.
How old are you?
31. So yeah, looking to get back out of my,
when did the doubt, back out of my feet. My point is this goes back. This goes way back. And so we've got to get to the source of that. I really believe that it would do you well to get some counseling. I don't think it's going to take you a long time, but I do think you getting some actual help and some counseling to get to the root of why you don't think you matter, why you don't have some value. And you used a word earlier as you began to set up the call that I'm chasing, and you are chasing. But you're chasing in a frantic, misguided pace to try to find something that is shiny enough and impressive enough for you to show your family. Look what I've done. And I think in that chasing, you have never allowed yourself to wonder. Or if you did wonder, you stopped wondering because of the chasing. And I want you back to a place of wondering that every child comes into this world hardwired with. It starts as toddlers where we ask, why, daddy? And we answer, why, daddy? Why? They're trying to get to the bottom of things. And I got to tell you, I think that's what's going on with you. Your self-doubt is based on what you believe others think of you, and you've got to start seeing you as a unique and wonderful human being who has something unique and valuable to give to the world. Do you believe that in your gut?
Yes. No, I agree, Ken.
All right, yep. So let me ask you this. And you've already done this to me twice on this call. I've heard it. I've talked to 5,000 plus people on the show. I can hear things. Stop editing and blurt. That's a good word. You ready to blurt?
Sure.
What is it that you really want to do? Say it.
I have a couple ideas.
Give me the top one, the one you think about the most. Say it.
Well, I'd love to, if it developed full time, I'd love to like react to like you as like a Christian YouTuber, like being like a reacting to like news stories from like a Christian perspective.
Okay, so you want to be a performer. I'm getting it.
Yes.
See, now we're getting somewhere. Then we got to get to the heart of things. You are a performer. You like attention. That doesn't mean it's bad. You like to have the pressure on you. You like commentating. You like communicating. You got strong opinions, and you want the world to hear what you think. True or false?
True. You know, it's funny that
stop. You do.
Yes.
Stop justifying it. You got to find your voice. I'm trying to help you find your voice, but I can't help you find your voice, and you cannot find your voice until you acknowledge that you have a voice. Are you still with me, Anthony?
Yes.
Anthony, do you want to share your voice with the world?
Yes.
All right, then. So, we start there. Okay. Forget about the specifics of Christian YouTuber or anything else. Just go, okay, here's where I stand. Okay. I need a good full-time job so that I can get out of this negative environment where I'm walking around every time I walk in this house, every time I walk out of this house, I deal with my mom issues and all of the crap that's associated with that. So let's go get ourselves a good solid day job and stop flaking out because this is not our long-term plan. This is I'm going to go get a really good job, drive a UPS truck or a Coca-Cola truck or whatever. Why? So that I can get stable financially and stable emotionally. I need a full-time job that pays well so I can go get counseling and get over my doubt and mama issues. Step one. Step two, I'm going to use Ken Coleman's Get Clear assessment that I'm going to give you. And From Paycheck to Purpose, my best-selling book, they work together. The Get Clear assessment is a compass that will allow you to find your mountaintop, discover it. You've already got a good idea, but I think you can go deeper. And I think you can come up with more ideas. It's going to help you select it. Then the book is the guide up the mountain. I'm going to give you those right now. I'm going to put you on hold, and Amanda's going to give you Paycheck to Purpose book and the Get Clear assessment. Now, you got to continue to get clear. The clearer you get, the more confident you become. Let me say that again for everybody. The clearer that Anthony becomes on who he is, that he is talented, that he does have a passion and something, work or a role that makes his heart beat fast, and that he has a sense of mission, there are results that motivate him. Once he gets clear, he begins to be confident. And then he's courageous to step out. Anthony, I appreciate you. You matter. You do have what it takes. Please press on.
Thanks for listening to The Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following @KenColeman.